In a world full of film and TV news.
This just in.
Breaking news for you now.
Gotta interrupt you here. We have some breaking news.
Breaking news.
To another story that is breaking overnight.
Three men have joined forces to bring you
The Weekly Cut.
Hello and welcome to the Weekly Cut podcast, your number one place for the latest news and reviews in TV and film. My name is Brad and this is co-host Connor T.
Bit flustered.
Flustered. Connor just spent 4 hours unwrapping 94 mics.
Yeah, someone forgot it. Forgot their headphones.
Absolute idiot. We're recording a little bit early. Do you reckon we should just throw this out on Sunday night?
Yeah, why
yeah.
not?
Yeah, recording a little bit early because we're going out tonight and the birds are out, our wives. I can't really call your wife a bird, really, but... Yeah,
just the other place.
they're out, so we thought, why not? And we've had a huge week from CinemaCon, so that's what this episode is about. I'm going to be bringing all the news, the highlights of the event that just took place in Las Vegas City. And in New York City.
New York City.
And I'm going to try and hype up Connor. I'm a geek. We all know I'm hyped over everything. Connor's a stonewall cold ice killer.
Yeah.
Cannot.
Yeah. You're asking.
Can I hype this man up with the news that's come out of Las Vegas this weekend from CinemaCon, such as Joker 2 trailer, etc. Everything's here. We also did watch Fallout. Yeah. I've watched 4 episodes. How many?
I have finished it.
Shut your ass.
I've completed
right,
it.
Right, save it. That is yep. sick. They're like, bit. I'm really shocked. Anyway, so Connor can give a bit more of an insight than me, but we'll let you know how our thoughts on it and review. We've got some other things to talk about as well, so let's get into it. I shall just mention a little plug. Please follow us on Twitter and TikTok at Weekly Cut. Well over 15k now on the Twitter. Really yeah. enjoying that. 50k likes on the TikTok. So just want to say thank you for getting involved. There's been a lot of communication from you guys over the last month. It's been probably a high for replies. So thank you. Yeah, we love it.
We love it. Before we start, are you hot?
I'm fine.
Okay.
Have you this is like, it's a brand new show. I don't know if you saw it. I bought it in Uniqlo yesterday.
Yeah, label's doing it.
Shut.
No, Jacob.
I'll fucking give myself. This is like airy. I feel good. Do you want to open a window?
No, I just asked you for you.
I'm sweet as, mate. Well. Okay, so the news. As I said, CinemaCon took place in Vegas. Just wrapped up its 4-day event. I'm going to start with the panel of Warner Bros. That kicks off the event. And I think it's probably best. I'm going to burp. Do apologize.
We can start.
Yeah. We are going to start with Joker 2.
Yeah.
Now, 167 million views in 24 hours.
Wow.
Some would say this is quite a hot movie.
Yeah.
But divisive.
It is.
I think it's divisive in the room. I'm going to start with you, Connor. What is your... Did you finish the beer already?
I crossed over a little while ago.
What do you think of the trailer?
I'm not sure. And I took, there are shots in the trailer.
I hate you, man.
There are parts in the trailer which are good. Mm-hmm. But I am worried about the musical element.
Still the musical element.
Yeah,
because for me, look, so you can probably sense from my tone, I loved it. I thought it was brilliant. I feel not completely and utterly, you know, vindicated from all my worry. I still have a little bit of cautious, but that this trailer for me didn't feel like a musical. It felt like a film with musical elements. It really, for me, that this trailer helped my worry because and people have to remember, he's always been, you know, obsessed with music and theatrics. This Arthur Fleck that we know, it's not the Joker we know from Heath Ledger's version, the horrible Jared Leto version, or the comics, or the animation Mark Hamill version. This is an Arthur Fleck story, and when he killed those three, you know, Wall Street guys, he went into the thing and danced.
Had a little boogie down. Yeah.
Which was a great fact is that he actually improv that, Joaquin Phoenix, and Todd Phillips just watched in awe and kept it in the movie. Hmm. But yeah, so he does have that in his body. So now he's escalated. He's become a serial killer quite quickly in that first movie. So look, that's my thought on it. I think they've handled that part quite well. In my opinion, I'm not right. Yeah,
it doesn't feel like a Joker movie from the trailer.
I get that.
It feels like it should be called Joker and Quinn. I think Harley Quinn will be, well, she's a main protagonist.
She's going to be, Joker is the title of character, but it's very much a Harley Quinn, Lady Gaga movie, and it is Joker, Joaquin Phoenix.
It will be like Captain America Civil War.
exactly like
that.
It's
not really a Captain America film, but it is, technically.
Very good example.
So I think it's going to be like that.
Very good example. Yeah, I completely agree. What I like about it as well is there's a lot of theories going around, and I believe one of them. Ooh. I think she is not a patient of that hospital, and I think she's actually Dr. Harleen Quinzel, which we know, who Margot Robbie played that, you know, Jared Leto. The whole idea of Harley Quinn, she becomes obsessed with Joker.
Yeah.
And turns into Harley Quinn. Because I don't know if you noticed, and I saw the frame by frames of it, there's so many moments in that trailer. She's not like being captive or so she kisses, for example, she kisses him through the bars.
Yeah.
She draws the makeup from the other side. She walks up the stairs to the trial. From the outside, she doesn't look like she's being kept there as a captive. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, could be a Shutter Island type job.
Yes.
She could be tricked.
So all this, you know, seeing her holding as a patient in the hospital, I think that's in his head.
Yeah. Can I say one thing?
Shoot from the hip. nice reminder. The layout of this episode, I'm going to bring you, the listeners, as well as Connor, the details that have come out of CinemaCon. And Connor, he's not sure on something or he doesn't like the sound of it, he's going to hit us with that. And we're going to play it again. Mid! And if he does like the sound of it, he'll hit us with a...
But now you have my attention.
Okay. Now, I want to spit in your face for putting that on the Joker, yeah. But... it's divisive, so I won't. I'll save myself.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I thought some of the shots, you've at least think visually, it looks, you know, very impressive.
Yeah, visually looks good. Yeah. Visually, it looks like Joker.
Yeah.
But I think story-wise, I feel like I'm going to be a bit disappointed.
Fair enough. Fair. Well, we'll only know when that comes out. I believe it's the 4th of October. Cannot wait for it, but how good was that? A lot of our followers, you know, went mad about the shot when she draws onto the screen. Oh.
It's brilliant.
Good God.
A masterpiece.
Yeah, yeah. Right, let's see though. Now this one, I had no idea about it. M. Night Shyamalan. New film is called Trap. It comes out August 2nd this year. I'm going to give you a little breakdown of some of the footage that dropped and what the movie's about.
Yep.
It stars Josh Hartnett. Love him. The footage from the trailer was shown, as I said, at CinemaCon and reveals the movie's plot. Hartnett is the star, and it takes place mainly inside a huge football stadium where Josh Hartnett's character has taken his daughter to see her favourite performer, Lady Raven. Hartnett leaves his daughter to go out to the bathroom and then notices a lot of police presence outside surrounding the stadium. He asks one of the merch booths, what the fuck's going on here? And he sort of whispers and says, this is all an act. We're actually here to catch a serial killer that butchers fans to this artist.
Oh.
Hartnett then goes, thank you, and looks at the camera with a smile, and he's the killer.
Ooh.
And now he has to get out of that situation.
But now you have my attention.
Yes, I've got him!
That sounds brilliant.
I had no idea. I knew M. Night Shyamalan was doing a new movie, but I didn't know that was the premise.
What a premise. That is good.
And apparently it's like a fourth wall break. He looks at the audience, and not like a full-on smile, but he implies, that's me.
Shyamalan is a mixed bag for
Shyamalan.
Me.
Oh, mate, he's the definition of a mixed bag director. Yeah.
But I think this will be a hit.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love it. And do you know, I mean, I feel sorry for him a little bit because he's sort of lost his way in Hollywood. Do you know, he's financed a lot of his movies recently.
Has he?
Like himself, because a lot of studios have not been into it. I actually liked his last one, Knock on the Cabin, with Dave Bautista. I watched
that.
It was quite good. But I mean, he done that Last Airbender movie, for example. That film Old is very divisive. That the new Glass, do you remember that?
Oh yeah,
that wasn't very good.
Yeah,
Split was great. But yeah, so we'll see about that one. But I thought that sounded good. I'll just end this panel by just saying, Big Mr. James Gunn did come on screen to just say thank you to the audience for Guardians. Obviously, there's not a presence here because this CinemaCon is mainly for films that are already done and scheduled to release. So he did say next year's CinemaCon, he'll be kicking off the summer of Superman. So I can't wait for that, because obviously that'll be 2 months just before it releases.
Yeah.
2-3 months. So can't wait for that. Right. Now, Lionsgate, my man. Might be some things here for you. There might be.
Cool. Go on.
Okay. Let's start with something. Let's start with it.
I'm now, hit the button now.
Now You See Me 3. It's moving ahead and confirmed to bring back the original cast, Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco. Thoughts on that?
less than mid, I would say. I think I've seen the first one.
The first one's by far the best. The second one has Daniel Radcliffe as the villain, Michael Caine.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
No, it's not good. Well, good.
How are they still going?
I don't know.
Are they making money?
I don't actually know what the first one grossed. I would imagine the first one grossed done all right. I don't know about the second one, though. But there seems to be appetite for it-ish. Mm. But all I will say to that, there's not much like it. A magician heist type movies.
Yeah.
So if they can make a good story, the first one is good.
The first one is good.
Mark Ruffalo's the twist, isn't it?
But I
sort of do agree with your statement. I mean, I hype a lot, but I have to give that a mid as well.
Straight to streaming. That'll be fine.
They are also bringing back like new characters into it. So it'll be like an old usher in a new.
Leave it.
Live action Monopoly movie in the works. Margot Robbie is producing.
I saw this. I saw this the other day, and I'm worried for Margot Robbie.
I am a little bit.
Do not fall into this trap of toys into films and games into films.
You know, it's already confirmed she's doing a Sims one as well.
Oh, see, she's going to be typecast.
So just because she done a very successful, and it was extremely successful, Barbie.
Yeah.
Like, that was probably a phenomenon.
Yeah.
If that's the right word from using this. I don't think you can recreate that.
You can't. Monopoly, what can you do? I'm going to buy this building, put a hotel on it.
Until this very moment, Con, I didn't think of the logistics of the movie.
Yeah.
And as you just said, is it going to be are people racing to buy stuff?
But what's interesting about that? So Margot Robbie's walking around and saying, I'll buy that. I'll buy this whole street and then put hotels on it. What's the story?
I don't know, mate.
And the Sims one as well. I don't know where that's going.
And yeah, Sims. Wouldn't that just be like Barbie, though? Because Barbie's like a world that's make-believe and they have the same routine. Like, that would be very much like Sims, wouldn't it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the mid.
Yeah, I'm worried for her.
I'm with you on the mid. Famous horror producer. You know Mr. Jason Blum, didn't you?
Yep.
very well. goes to dinner with him once a week. He's partnered with Lionsgate to reboot a lot of their horror franchise elements. Example, American Psycho, Christian Bale, Hostel, loads of big IPs that they have, Lionsgate. I know what you're going to go with this one. They've got his hand is fire ready. The first one they're tackling is the Blair Witch Project.
But now you have my attention.
Oh!
I absolutely adore Blair Witch Projects.
I completely understand, but how do you recreate that very cult classic phenomenon?
But then
it's extremely low budget because it is just a handheld camera.
The worry I have is if they go like Instagram live or TikTok live on the borders and stuff.
That would be shit.
You've got to do it as a handheld camera.
It's going to be I would assume it's going to be handheld. I'm not a horror fan one bit, but I have seen Blair Witch Project and I understand why that is such a phenomenon. But it will be very hard to recreate. They did try a reboot in... I think it was 2015, and I think people hated it, didn't do very well. So it's going to be very hard.
Yeah.
But Jason Blum does okay. I mean, he recreated Invisible... was it called Invisible Girl? Invisible Man. That was one of my very first podcast episodes.
Yeah.
And that was good. Modern take on it.
Yeah.
But as Connor said, I didn't think about that till now. I don't want no social media shit.
No, leave that out.
That'd be awful. That'd be horrible.
Yeah.
Okay. And now, Guy Ritchie... not sure how I feel about this one, so I'm interested what Connor thinks. Guy Ritchie's next film is titled In the Grey. Now, we know next week he's got his new Ungentlemanly Warfare, which I'm very excited about, and I know Connor is as well. But we knew about this movie, just now the details are under wraps. So Henry Cavill, Jake Gyllenhaal, and Isaac Gonzalez.
Oh,
very a good trio.
Good cast.
The film follows a group who operate in the middle of criminality and law. The group is going after a notorious kingpin who has stole billions. The footage shown at CinemaCon spoke of high action and great chemistry between Cavill and Gyllenhaal.
I don't know. I think I'm a bit...
Does that sound very similar to the premise of Ungentlemanly Warfare?
I was about to say. I feel like I've heard that film before.
Please, sorry, Connor. Please read the top line.
Sounds like a movie I've seen before. It does.
But I'm not saying I have. I'm just saying it sounds like a very generic heist type. I've seen that movie. I know I have.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's just a different cast. Yeah, that's just a waste of film,
I guess the reason you just played both there and the reason you're unsure and the reason I'm unsure is because, and my second note I put, is Cavill, Gyllenhaal, and Mr. Guy Ritchie is probably enough to keep me
intrigued. Yeah, it pulls me in.
Yeah.
But the story, I think, is just going to be the same.
I don't know, man. Yeah, I agree. There's nothing more I can say on that. I thought I'd just bring it to you guys. This one's interesting. You definitely haven't heard about this.
Oh,
Dave Bautista, fan of the man here. We love him. Stars in a new movie called Killer's Game, based on a novel. The story follows a veteran assassin played by Bautista, who is diagnosed with a terminal illness. And instead of going through the pain that the terminal illness will bring before he dies, he puts a hit out on himself to end it early. Soon after, he's confirmed to be misdiagnosed and is now fighting for his life.
Mid! It sounds silly.
It does sound stupid.
I love Dave Bautista, and we love him here, but that just sounds... Just call the hit off.
Okay, yeah.
You said it.
There must be a reboot button or something, yeah. Cancellation. For me, I put a note here as well that sounds like a rip-off of a very large arc that John Wick handles.
Yeah.
John Wick has many old colleagues coming after him because he's just a very, very lucrative bounty.
Yeah.
So it's the same.
Yeah. But if he puts a hit out on himself, who pays them when he dies?
I don't know.
There's a lot of holes in there.
I don't know. Okay, should we move on from Lionsgate?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to bring on to Paramount. Now, this was touted as by far the best panel of the week. Now, we've got Disney and Marvel coming up after this, but this was what people are calling the best. And there is some interesting stuff here.
Oh,
this first one is very interesting to me because I know you love the director. So I'm going to start with Edgar Wright. He's going to be bringing... So, for the listeners, I know Connor knows, but for the listeners, Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, the Cornetto Trilogy, even Baby Driver, which is one of my favourite movies ever, is making a new Running Man remake starring Glenn Powell as the lead. Now, for those who don't remember, Arnold Schwarzenegger starred in the original, and it's about... Everyone has seen this movie. You might not remember it as much. I love it. It's basically a game show where people are getting sentenced to death, and they must... You've got to run through and save themselves by... from like excruciating death coming at them.
Yeah.
So that's the game show that goes on air. So what do you think about that?
But now you have my...
Glenn Powell.
Was it Glenn Powell?
That was it.
I put down here, is Glenn Powell becoming a little bit of a draw for moviegoers?
I think he is.
I'll be honest with you, that Twisters movie, I watched the trailer with him when he goes, you don't chase it, you ride it.
Yeah.
He's the draw for me.
He's a cool guy.
He's a very cool guy.
Yeah.
I'm glad you like that. Edgar Wright, I know you're a fan.
Fantastic director.
Fantastic. I feel like he would be... I don't know if you remember it, the original.
Nah.
It's very Scott Pilgrim-y. Like, it's very... Like, he's, for example, Arnold Schwarzenegger's in, like, a yellow tight suit and, like, obviously trying to evade death.
Yeah.
And it's like a proper game show, and I feel like he could nail that, Edgar Wright.
He could bang on.
And think of Baby Driver's soundtrack.
Yeah.
Like, my man knows what he's doing.
Oh, it's going to be good.
That sounds quite good. Yeah. Okay, so I thought I'd bring you that. Then what else have I got for you? Ooh.
Oh, dear.
This is 100% know the way this is going. Transformers and G.I. Joe crossover movie is officially in the works. Con, what do you think about that?
Boring.
I completely agree with you. I did watch Rise of the Beasts, and whilst it was a fun time in movie theatres, the... You know, post-credit end of the movie, they did obviously set up a G.I. Joe crossover. Now, I'm intrigued to see how they handle this, because I feel like it's going to be very evident that it's coming across that you don't have a clue what you're doing with either IP.
Yeah.
So you're just mashing.
Mash them together. See how we go. If it doesn't work, we'll just spin them both. It's us.
Because both are failing franchises. Transformers has never regained its... Rise of the Beast was quite, you know, we had a good time of it, people said. But, and you know, think of, you know, Mark Wahlberg's Age of Extinction last night. They were ridiculed movies.
Yeah.
Ridiculed. So the franchise is struggling there. G.I. Joe I won't even mention because that just absolutely trash. And I do feel like they just don't know what they're doing. So they're thinking, can we just try and get both sets of fans to come and watch our movie and make money?
Yeah, it's like they've pulled paper out of a hat, pulled out of two franchises and gone, yeah, put them together.
Look, there are elements in both that I do enjoy, but if you think they're going to make a good movie, they're not.
No.
There might be some cool moments in it where Snake Eyes rides Optimus Prime.
Oh,
I don't know.
It sounds like a 90s film. Like, it shouldn't be in this day and age. Should be done with that.
I think it'll just be, speaking of should be done with that, Scary Movie franchise is getting a reboot.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know why? Because the original character then won't come back.
Yeah, that's a lot of people said that.
Yeah, they were the films.
Wayne's brothers. I can't remember Chris Pratt's ex. What's her name? I can't think of her name. But she, the blonde girl, she played Sydney, didn't she? Oh, yeah. There is. And then is it Aina Faris, the one that's always really the best friend?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, brilliant. I completely agree with that. I'm like you, where I heard it. And I was like, fucking yes.
Yeah.
Because they were some of the best times watching movies.
Oh, it's fucking
Scary
brilliant.
Movie 2, to this day, is absolutely hilarious. Mm-hmm. How about a standing ovation? How about I give you a hand? Oh, it's just too
Your brother
good.
Kept saying that at your wedding.
Oh, yeah, he did. So, look, I was excited initially, but then a question for Connor here, a genuine question, and I think I know the answer because I know him very well. With this day and age, in terms of how people get offended very easily, etc., would a parody movie, a parody genre, be able to thrive this day and age?
No, because you have to be too careful with the jokes.
Exactly that.
None of the actors will want to do the jokes, so yep. Because they'll think, oh, they'll be cancelled. Even though they're acting,
yep.
It won't happen. I think the last one to get away with it was probably Tropic Thunder.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
There. Robert well, yeah.
I don't know how he got away with that.
But I think the reason it gets away with that, because Tropic Thunder, I don't know why I'm pointing at Connor here, but Tropic Thunder is a parody movie to me, but it's done in a tasteful way, i.e. The Boys is a parody.
Yeah.
It's a parody on superhero media today. You cannot say it's not, but it's got great stories around it and makes it its own thing. But at the very center, it is a parody. The comics were a parody. It's a comedy parody of X-Men.
Yeah.
So I just think that unless you do it in that way, then you might be able to succeed with it. But a full-on parody, I think that the era is moved on, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think so. It's a shame.
It is a shame.
They were good days.
Because you do dark comedy, a lot of people love it.
Yeah.
But studios ain't going to pull the trigger on dark comedy parodies.
Too
either.
Scared. Yeah. But that will pull audiences in.
I would think.
I'll go watch it.
But like this, for example, they're going to do this. But I guarantee it's not going to have that, you know, really dark comedy that the Scary Movie did.
Yeah.
Well, they were taking a piss out of disabled people.
Yeah.
You're not. That's categorically not going to happen. Yeah. I'm not saying I want to see a whole movie on it. But people found that hilarious in that because it just worked. So, yeah. I don't know. I just think that era is done, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Now, live action R-rated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movie. It will adapt one of the most iconic comic stories ever called The Last Ronin, where the last surviving turtle in a dystopian future is looking to avenge the death of his fallen brothers.
Mid! I'm sorry. So does that mean all the other turtles are dead?
Yeah.
It's just one turtle?
Just one.
What's the point? So it should be Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. It's no S on the end. It's just
plural.
I'm bored with Teenage Mutant Ninja. I'm bored of them. I didn't really like him when I was a kid, though.
Can I own up to something?
You love it.
Bear hyped. Bear hyped. Look, God, you're absolutely right. I'll give you that. But I like my samurai stuff like that. I've never read this comic, but I know what a Ronin is. A Ronin is someone that's turned bad almost because they've got no master. That's the idea of a Ronin. They're masterless.
Yeah.
So an R-rated live action bit of that, I can't lie. I fucking hyped. But I
don't know.
You are right. Yeah. I know you're right. My brain says Connor's right. But something inside of me is saying yes, yes, yes to that. And I can't help it.
Because I suppose the premise is okay, but the live action bothers me.
Yeah.
Because you've got a cool samurai shit. Deaths, blood, heads chopping off. That's a turtle.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a bit.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, something that I like about it, because I always thought when I'm watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, even the new ones that are done, obviously, quite a few years ago, the first one wasn't that bad with Shredder. The second one was awful with Krang or something, whatever it is. But yeah, even though they've got, you know, I don't know what them little blades are called, or like he's got a sword and stuff like that. They don't use them.
No.
Because you can't show decapitation on a teenage mutant. So that's why maybe I'm a little bit intrigued that you are going to see a turtle blading people up. Plunging people up.
What a sentence that is. a turtle just slashing people up.
I didn't realise what I said until okay, well, look, we'll move on. Conorad's got a point there, but I can't lie.
You love that
to
shit.
You, and I can't lie to the audience.
Yeah.
So now you love that shit. now we'll end on, but quite clearly their biggest, boldest thing to that they can show off is Gladiator 2. Now, here's some details for you. I'll just read out and a little bit about the footage. So it's set 20 years after the first film. Paul Mescal, the lead, plays a nobleman who has renounced his privilege and is inspired by Russell Crowe's Maximus story. The footage showed Manny in a monkeys, gladiators fighting charging rhinos, and arenas, set around shark-infested waters. Pedro Pascal plays a Roman general forced to become a gladiator after he wanted to stop sending men to war. Denzel Washington is a shadowy operator manipulating everything. Paul Mescal and Pedro Pascal, wait for it, face off in an arena covered in blood. What do you think?
Do I need to press the button?
No, you don't.
I'm going to press it anyway.
But now you have my attention.
I can't wait.
I'm so fucking hyped. Just a little bit for people that obviously didn't see the footage. Everyone is saying it's so clear where the budget went. It's a very high budget movie. I think it might be even over 200 mil.
Yeah.
And apparently it looks insane. I can't wait. I think Ridley Scott can be, I'm not comparing him to M. Night Shyamalan, because Ridley Scott, for me, is one of the best directors ever to exist. But of late, he has been a little bit hit or miss. I'll give people that.
Yeah.
This, I have no doubt, is a hit.
100%. And the cast you've got as well. And as well, I think I'm excited to see Denzel on my screen in a proper film. I'm not saying Equalizer 3 isn't a proper film.
It's a fucking shite movie. I'll tell you what it is.
I'll say it then, yeah.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and I want to see his acting chops.
Because we got, like, don't get, I know he was in that Macbeth, which I've not seen, which is showing his acting chops, but it's not like a blockbuster maybe not blockbuster is the right word, but, you know, mainstream cinema. I want Denzel Washington back where he belongs, one of the greatest actors ever.
Yeah.
And it sounds like he's playing a very, very good character. And again, a lot of people coming out of CinemaCon were saying that his performance is like ferocious, I kept seeing.
Yeah.
So, and all of them were apparently, like, all of them are acting their asses off.
Yeah, and it's going to be nice seeing Pedro as well.
Yes.
In like a serious role.
Do you know what? Yeah. When was the last?
No, it's all been fantasy roles, really.
Mandalorian, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. He was a very charming, likable guy.
Yeah.
Obviously, he was a bit of a villain in The Last of Us,
but
you root for him, though, so it's not the same.
Yeah.
But
this is like a Roman emperor who's forced to turn gladiator. That's a role you've got a proper act and properly adapt to.
Because even though the reasoning why he's gone to be a gladiator is because he wanted to stop sending men to war. But I do think his character will be dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's
a
good point.
It's going to be good. I can't wait.
Fantastic.
Is it Hans Zimmer?
I don't know.
Oh, I should know that, really.
Chocolate Google.
Yeah, Sergeant.
We might not even know, actually.
Yeah.
It might not be confirmed. I'm thinking Ridley Scott now. Who would be lined up for that?
Because he'd done the first one.
Obviously, he'd done the first Gladiator. Surely you get Hans back.
Harry Gregson Williams. Who the fuck's that?
I don't know who that is. What's his biography?
What's he done? Metal Gear, Spy Game, Phone Booth, Man on Fire, Narnia, Chicken Run. Oh, that doesn't sound good. I'm not impressed.
Look, in Ridley we trust, but Jesus Christ. Well, actually, to be fair, I assume Hans is busy. I don't know, doing his tour or...
Yeah, he's got tours, hasn't he?
Yeah, I don't. Maybe when was June part two? Was that his focus over the recent years?
I changed it after adapt. It's just... just play that on repeat.
I wish people could have seen your face then. They did also show men throughout the. I'll just sort of mention this for you guys, quite exciting. All these panels showed men a lot of stuff, which I'm not talking about because we're going to get the trailer very, very soon. So we might as well talk about that on the podcast when we can all see it together, i.e., Sonic 3, the new Transformers 1 movie with Chris Hemsworth voicing. To name a few, there's loads that has been dropped over CinemaCon, and they will start coming, I would say, over the next week or two.
Yeah.
It always follows CinemaCon. We'll wait for that and talk about that in the podcast episodes when they release. Now, to finish off CinemaCon, Disney and Marvel. Just a couple of things here, because there's only a few films they've got coming. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes kicked off the panel and showed footage from the movie, which people are calling the cleanest and best CGI apes have looked in this franchise, which is hard to beat because...
Yeah, it looks clean already.
Jesus Christ. The story follows an ape called Noah, whose village is ravaged by another ape clan led by a prophet leader named Proximus Caesar. Now, that's cool.
Yeah.
Because he's obviously using the generations past Caesar we know as a way to fuel his like heretic views and make people bow to him because of Caesar. That's quite cool. I didn't know that he's going to be called that. They use weapons that humans use throughout history, such as electrical batons. In the end, Noah's whole village is vanquished and Noah is then set on a fueled rage revenge. Just... shove that down my throat.
I need it.
Get it in me.
This film could be one of the only films in history that gets better every single film.
Absolutely agree. I think Deadpool might do that.
Yeah.
I think Deadpool, you're absolutely right. It just keeps improving.
They're not missing. They're just not missing.
They don't miss. I can't wait for it. My hopes are so high for this movie.
Yeah.
There's so many ways they can go. They can lead up to another war for the Planet of the Apes with humans evolving. Because I think that's a part of this movie is that young girl, the apes realize that she is a next stage of evolution on the humans. I think she starts thinking for herself and stuff like that because that simian flu that we saw in the trilogy, Matt Reeves trilogy, that reduced humans to primate level.
Yeah, you can just flip it.
You can that's what I was going to say. You can flip it, and it's another perspective. We see another war for the Planet of the Apes, like we saw in the third movie, but from a completely different perspective.
And then if those three are good, just do it again. Just flip it again. It will start again.
Oh, it's like a burger, mate. Just keep going. Flipping. Yeah. Absolutely agree with that. Then big boy Kevin Feige took to the stage. He brought out Anthony Mackie. Now, I don't think Kevin's actually been to a cinema con before, but obviously... that shows you that Marvel are desperate and they're like, right, you need to show up. That speaks volumes.
He's got to go.
That speaks volumes. The footage, this is for Captain America 4, The Brave New World. The footage showed Sam Wilson and Thunderbolt Ross, played by Harrison Ford, at the White House. Ross wants to reunite the Avengers led by this new Captain America. The footage showed a lot of action, which is being compared to The Winter Soldier, and even the tone of the movie is clear they're attempting to do Winter Soldier levels. All I will say on that is that I'm glad the movie title doesn't fit the tone of the movie by the sounds of it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about this.
Yes.
And it's a shame they changed the title of the movie because I should have kept it as it is.
Have a bit of bottle Disney. I know you're Disney, but if people wondering what we're talking about, it was called New World Order, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they couldn't do it because of COVID and stuff, and they changed it. Because people are conspiracy theories. Calm down.
Calm down.
But at this point, I don't even care about names. Just give me a good film.
Yes.
Just win.
Do a good story. And I was worried about this movie, but they've done, as me and Connor have reported on this podcast and on the Twitter, at Weekly Cut, check it out, please. This movie went through about 6 months reshoots. They've changed a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that goes hand in hand with the choices and ideas they've done, the same with the Daredevil series. I think they've realised over the last year, I think it's been a big year or two for Marvel.
Yeah.
Where they've gone 18 months or so, where they've gone, this ship is heading for that cliff.
Yeah.
If we don't get two hands back on the ship and steer it in the right direction, we will lose this.
100%,
So I feel like they are really trying, whether it's too late, the current might be too strong now.
Yeah.
To take them off that cliff. I didn't practice that.
That's really good.
I didn't practice that.
That's really poetic.
But is there enough time to steer it back? I believe in my whole heart that there is.
Yeah.
But it's going to take a lot.
Yeah. I think they can. Stop shooting yourself in the foot Fantastic Four and whatnot.
Yes. We'll release that on the Twitter very soon. Yeah. We spoke about it last week. It'll be interesting to know your thoughts on it. But that's another reason where they keep shooting themselves in the foot and not doing what the fans know they're going to like. But yeah, look, this movie, I can't wait for it now. It is still got a lot of, you know, around it, because I'm not completely sold on the idea of Anthony Mackie's Sam Wilson as Captain America. I'm not.
Neither am I.
No.
The only person I can see as Captain America is Chris Evans.
Yes.
That's the only Steve Rogers, and that's it.
and this is not just saying about Sam Wilson, I think Bucky would have struggled as well, because his character, although the comics, you know, has it, we're not talking about the comics, we're talking about the live action MCU verse.
Yeah.
And I do think that would have struggled as well, but we'll give him a chance. I'm hearing great things, like Connor said, he's hearing good things. The action apparently is very good.
Yeah.
Let's see what they can do.
Yeah. I'm sad we lose Falcon, because I liked Falcon.
I was a good character. Do you remember the guy from, his name's Torres, he's new Falcon. Apparently they're seen doing action together, the new Captain America and Falcon, so we'll see. Now, just finish off this panel. We've got some Deadpool news. Kevin Feige took to the stage, of course, again, to speak about Deadpool 3 with Sean Levy, the director. He came out and said that it's fucking awesome, and the reason he can say that is because it's R-rated, which I thought was quite a cool line. They then showed an action-packed footage, and Connor is going to love what I'm about to say. They showed action-packed footage, which all led to a moment where Deadpool sprints at the camera, breaks the fourth wall, grabs the mic and says, "Suck it, Fox, I'm going to Disneyland."
That is brilliant. Do you know that meme where he goes, "Woo!"
Yeah.
I want that.
Absolutely epic. That sounds fantastic. We saw a lot of Wolverine, apparently, and it's looking epic. They're not allowing people to really talk about, but I cannot wait to see this movie, God.
Yeah.
Does it make $1 billion?
I think it does.
I think so.
I think the hype is there.
Even with R-rated?
Yeah. I think the hype is there. And I think seeing Hugh Jackman back, I think there's enough pull.
I'm pretty sure Deadpool 2 is something like 700-ish million, and that behind the Joker, which obviously made $1 billion as an R-rated movie. And so if Deadpool 2 makes that, you throw Wolverine into the mix.
Yeah.
I think that does it. Plus all the 400 cameos we're going to get. So can't wait for that. And then lastly, just a quick one, Alien Romulus footage was shown, and they've leaned full into horror elements for this one. It showed face huggers and aliens bursting out of chest. There's also technology on this new ship that shines a light so bright you can see through a human body. Ooh. So there's a scene where you can see the alien bursting out from start to finish.
Oh, it just sounds perfect to me. I love Alien.
We kind of mentioned that last week. Yeah. I completely agree.
That sounds brilliant.
They've tried over the last couple of movies to try and do like a sci-fi epic.
Yeah.
Mixed with a horror, and it didn't work with Prometheus, Alien Covenant, etc. This is full on horror.
Yeah, because when it came out, it was a horror film.
Yeah.
Stick to your roots.
Yeah, stick to your roots.
You know what you're doing.
And I believe we mentioned it on the pod last week or so that it's set between Alien 1 and Aliens. So, yeah. Well done.
Yeah, you win.
Okay, Con. That's CinemaCon, mate.
Really?
Connor, that's CinemaCon. What did you think? Was it quite a good event-ish?
Yeah, I'd say it's a successful year.
Bear in mind, I've probably just spoken about, you know, 50% maybe less of what actually come out, but there's no point talking about that until we all get it, which is coming in the next week or so. So stick with the podcast. Makes sense.
Yeah, fucking up. What might be the next year?
But I enjoyed this.
Yeah, I think it's a good event.
Okay, Con, shall we just end the podcast a little bit by talking about Fallout?
Yeah, shall we?
Shall we?
Yeah.
What did you think? You've seen the whole thing.
I think I was very worried coming into this.
Because of video game adaptations?
Yeah, and I think Halo sort of scarred me a bit.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then you text me and said, the first scene starts with a bang. And I watched it and I was just, it was just breathtaking.
How, you was about to say blown away and then realised. How good.
It's fucking phenomenal.
From, like, visually, I was quite shocked at the mushroom clouds and et cetera and the fallout.
Yeah.
The acting from Walton Goggins, who we all love, who plays Cecil in Invincible, by the way. He voices Cecil. I always loved him. He's from S.H.I.E.L.D., etc. But the acting as well.
It's unreal.
The intense, the music type, the direction.
Yeah.
Flawless opening.
I think Christopher Nolan is God and Jonathan Nolan is Jesus Christ.
Nice. Yeah.
Because it's unreal. And you can see the Nolan touch in it.
You absolutely can.
And I think it's the whole series is very, 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 very good.
Well, I've only watched 4 episodes, so that means a lot to me hearing Connor say that.
Yeah.
I thought the first 4 episodes were fantastic, so to hear him say the whole series is, it's actually on 94% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you're not alone in thinking that, Connor. Yeah. I'll put down here about the opening scene because it just was that good. I like it as well. What I think they've done so brilliantly is they've handled multiple storylines, which The Boys does so well. Shock, that's also Prime Video.
Yeah.
But they do the vault storyline, which is becoming a bit of a mystery. You obviously know the mystery, but I don't.
Yeah.
But I'm hit, you know, the vault from 32, what really happened to the inhabitants of that vault. It's showing the life of 33 without their leaders now. Then you've got on the surface world, which is Lucy McLean, the main woman in it.
Yeah.
Her and the Gore is my favourite character, that's again, played by Walter Goggins. I just think it's so brilliantly done.
Yeah. And the payoff at the end is 100% worth it.
Oh, stop it.
We're set for more.
Okay.
And one shout I've got to give as well. Aaron Moten, who plays Maximus.
Is he the one that becomes the knight?
The knight.
He's so good. He's
fucking phenomenal.
He's acting.
It's unreal.
He's so good.
I was watching that, I was thinking, you're like incredible.
Well, a lot of the time, he is just doing, this is what I found, I've got that in my note as well. He's like Iron Man, where in a lot of the Iron Man movies, you just see Robert Downey Jr.'s face with the, you know, the technology of Friday around him or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's acting in that. He's just really good. This is a breakout role.
It is, yeah. And, like, you feel sorry for him. You connect with him. But then you think, like, sometimes it gets a bit nasty and you think, oh, you just feel the character.
But I understand. I really, really, not sympathise, what's the word? I resonate with why he's so eager to just be a success in that night. And he's just all he wants. It's all he wants.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've learned about what really happened to him as a kid yet. Does that...
You find out.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I thought nothing, so.
No stone is really left unturned.
Which is...
Is what you want. And then we're set up for the next season, which is just going to be, again, if we get one.
Well, little segue on what you're saying. They've already got rights. I think it's in Atlanta. The government have given them filming rights already, which has been found.
Yeah.
So that means it's a very, 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 very high chance season two is happening.
It's phenomenal.
And that's before the fallout... of the fan reaction. So I think we could probably bet on the weekly cut that it's getting a season two.
Yeah, and well deserved.
Absolutely.
I started it on Thursday night and I finished it this morning.
Fucking did not stop. Insane. One thing, I think you're going to agree with me because we seem to be getting a bit of an erection over this. I didn't expect it to be two things. So dark in terms of like the violent elements.
Yeah.
And then also, I didn't expect to be laughing out loud at some moments.
This morning I was laughing. I was laying in bed, proper chuckling, and Holly was asleep. Yeah. And what are you laughing at? I went, I don't know.
It's like, I think they call it satire, don't they, comedy? Yeah. Like, there's the bit, what's he called? Mr. Handy, you know the robot? I can't remember the name of the robot, where, I won't, no spoilers, but there's a scene where the robot comes into it, and then someone says, I won't say who it is, someone says, like, oh, thank God, I thought you were going to sell me as a prostitute. Oh, and he goes, oh, that'd be so ridiculous, I'm not a monster, I was just going to harvest your organs.
Yeah. Matt Berry, isn't it?
I was going to say, was that Matt Berry?
Matt Berry.
I googled it, but couldn't find.
Yeah, it's Matt Berry.
Oh my God, it sounds exactly like him.
It's brilliant.
Oh.
As well, a little fact.
Yeah?
Episode two, when you first see the ghoul, and there's them three like cowboys, the black guy, do you know where he's from?
No.
That's Bubba from Forrest Gump.
No way. Yeah. How did you know that?
Spotted it straight away.
Outstanding. Look, what's more to be said, it's a brilliant, brilliant show. They're handling every element perfectly.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it again to sort of back up Connor when I've watched it. I'll have it watched by next podcast, of course. One thing I'll end it on, Connor, give me a yes or no, because Connor's the biggest fan of this, not fallout, of this thing I'm about to mention. Connor's the biggest fan I know of it. So, do you give Prime Video the keys to making a adaptation of Red Dead Redemption?
Yes, you do. 100% give them the keys. And this leads on to the question I was going to ask you.
Shoot.
And the listeners as well, because one of the thoughts. Is Prime Video the best streaming service at the moment in terms of what they're putting out?
I fully believe in my whole heart that it's not even a question.
They don't miss.
They are just from their main ones, from Invincible to The Boys to Gen V and now Fallout, they handle everything from parody type things to animation to video game adaptations to dark comedy.
Yeah.
So everything they do, they now.
They're getting HBO status.
Yeah.
HBO are just the goats.
They're still king. Yeah. HBO's still
the
king.
Goat of goats.
But in terms of, we haven't got Max in the UK, so we can't comment on that. But in terms of streaming services that we're accustomed to, Netflix, Prime Video, Apple TV, who I do like, Apple TV, But yeah, these and Disney Plus, which
that's the worst of the
one thing every 6 months you get. I am watching something very good, which I'm going to talk about on screens on Disney Plus. But yeah, I completely agree, Con. Good question. Yeah. Prime Video wins.
It wins hands down.
Hands down. Okay, that ends it. Well, now we'll just bring on to our last two, mate. It's time for What's on Our Screens.
Oh, I'm not ready.
Help me!
What's on the other page?
What is on your screens?
Fallout, obviously, smash that.
Smash that.
And I'm also watching Shogun.
Oh.
And I think I'm on episode 4.
Nice.
I'm fucking loving it.
Look, I'm not going to go into it because I'll speak about it when I've finished it. I think I've only got 2 episodes left because I'm up to date, but the new one that comes out, I think there's 2 left. It is amazing.
Unreal.
Something that happened in the most recent episode, you find yourself going towards the camera because the acting and the intense levels are that good.
Yeah.
It's extremely, someone asked me, should they watch it? And I said, there's hardly any action.
Yeah.
But I don't care because it's building to something. And there is action, of course. But I feel like they've made me completely and utterly fall in love with this world.
Yeah, it just keeps you.
Yeah.
It just keeps you. And I'm watching it on the train, which I think is a mistake, but it gets me to and from work. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I do stop it and then watch on the big TV.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a big telly type series.
I'm glad you're watching it. It's that good, man.
Yeah. What else have I got? No, that's it.
Fair. I've only got one thing I wanted to bring to you. X-Men 97.
Oh, yeah.
I won't go into too much. When the season's done, I will give you a sort of my clear thoughts on it. This is even better than Loki.
Oh.
This is the best Marvel have done in storytelling in probably since 2020 when Endgame came out. Absolutely incredible. I've got a really weird fact to tell you about the writer who was fired by Marvel before this came out. In a second, I'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to what we should be talking about, the actual series. Some of the storylines, which I won't go into, it's really like intense and dark and risky. All things you wouldn't associate with Marvel. Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. Yeah. 100%.
Episode 5, What Just Happened, is the best animated thing I have watched. I'll lend it there.
This is extremely high praise. Do I need to watch the old ones to watch this?
Not at all.
If you say it's better than Loki, then I have to watch it.
In terms of, we adore Loki. Absolutely brilliant series. But what they're doing, and it just makes people so hyped for X-Men, because you can do better storylines than you have with the Avengers.
Yeah.
You can. That's not a debate. And this guy, his name's Bo DeMeo, he was fired by Marvel just before this release, which is a shame, and fans are campaigning for him to get rehired. He's got an OnlyFans account.
Oh no, fuck's sake. Well, he's getting his little todger out and everything.
I don't think there's, no, it's not, this is what I think is quite harsh about it. It's not extreme nudity or anything. As far as I'm aware, he's a very good looking chap and he does, you know, shirtless pictures. Nothing wrong with that in my opinion.
That's fine.
However, it is Disney, so.
Yeah.
I don't see much wrong with it. If he was doing hardcore porn,
yeah,
then yeah, fair enough. That's too far, mate. We've got kids coming, you know. But it's Disney Plus.
Yeah, but there's shots with like Steve Rogers with his top off and looking all sexy and trim.
Yeah.
And Disney, no, that's fun.
Yeah.
Because my man's getting paid for it. No way.
Another thing I'll say is Gambit, who's not been done live action properly, and we know he's been done in live action, played by, I can't remember the guy's name now, but he was in X-Men Origins and was not a good... Taylor Kitsch, found it. I don't know. He's the guy. Do you remember the Terminal List with Chris Pratt?
Oh yeah,
he was the one that went bad in the end. That's the guy who played the live action Gambit. Didn't work. But when we get live action Gambit, copy whatever this guy's doing for this X-Men 97. Ooh. What he does in episode 5 Gambit is one of the coolest things a superhero has done in a very long time.
Yeah, because you texted about midnight and said, just by the way, this is the best thing I've watched.
This is not even my reaction. You should go, if you type in X-Men 97, people have lost their fucking minds, mate. It's that good.
Yeah.
But forget the sort of the cool moments. It's the storytelling, what they've done. It's so, so good. I'm talking, it's going to sound really strange to you, but I'm talking about giving up babies and people dying that you would not think. Charles Xavier...
That's what I want.
Statue falling on mutants, which is a subliminal message to everything he was against.
Yeah.
It's like, it's just so clever. But yeah, fantastic. Box of scraps, mate.
Box of scraps!
I've got a one or two.
I've got no scraps, but I was Googling for some reason because I've been listening to like the Fallout soundtrack's brilliant. So I should listen to those songs.
Yep.
And for some reason, I got onto Judy Garland, Wizard of Oz lady.
Yeah.
And do you know her daughter's Liza Minnelli?
Shut your ass.
Yeah, Liza Minnelli's mum is Judy Garland.
I had no idea.
Yeah, but there you go. That's a scrap for you.
Fantastic scrap. What about, I just thought of something in my head, Interstellar re-releasing.
Re-releasing in the autumn.
You got to go and see that.
IMAX, 100%.
Connor's, I don't know a bigger fan than Interstellar than you.
I've got to go.
100%. Just two ones quickly before we end the show. New Hero sequel series in the works.
Mm.
For me, that's got foul written all over it.
100%.
The first season of Heroes was groundbreaking. Loved every second of it. And then it fell off an absolute cliff the way Marvel is heading.
Why would they bring that in this day and age?
It's a sequel as well. Lastly, a bit of sad news, but not really surprised. The Jon Snow spin-off series, Kit Harington confirmed in an interview that it's basically dead in the water.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a shame because he's a cool character, but maybe there's just not a story there.
Well, I think he said they couldn't land on the story.
That's it.
And to be fair, I'd rather them not force it.
That's HBO. That's what they do. Yeah. You're absolutely right. But that's it. That's the show. I really enjoyed this one.
Good show.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah. Thank you guys for listening to this. Please, if you can leave a review, we really, really do appreciate it. But the main thing, just keep coming back and listening and being present on the socials. We love it at Weekly Cut. But for this week, thanks for listening.
And thanks for having us in your ears.